So, chapter 15, Matthew 8, and also Matthew 15. From chapter 8, we'll read verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." Matthew 15, we'll read verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. These two verses that we've read for our text are part of the record of two of Christ's miracles of healing. What we read in Matthew 8 is part of the record of Christ healing the servant of a centurion. And what we read in Matthew 15 is part of the record of Christ healing the daughter of a woman of Canaan, the Syrophoenician woman. But in both of these verses, Christ commends the faith of two separate individuals. In making reference to the faith of the centurion in Matthew 8, he said, "So great faith." So great faith. And concerning the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15, "Great is thy faith." So in both verses, there is that word "great" describing the faith of these individuals. What it simply means is that their faith was significant. Their faith was extraordinary. It was something that was extensive, great. It was something that was projecting, something that was powerful, something that was very influential. It's important that we recognize that it was not some man that described their faith. It was not themselves describing their faith. It was Jesus Christ describing these individuals' faith. And there in Matthew chapter 8, concerning the centurion's faith, we read that Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. That's a phenomenal statement. Jesus marveled. And he marveled at this man's faith. We are told in Hebrews 11 in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. From that we gather that there is a faith that God is pleased with. And from our two text verses we see there is a faith that God commends. And that is our subject this morning, a faith commended by God. First of all, Christ take special notice of faith. In both cases before us, Christ took special notice of the faith of two individuals. He knew everything there was to know about the centurion. He knew everything there was to know about the Canaanite woman. But he in particular observed and marked their faith. And I believe he still does the same thing today. He knew everything there was to know about the circumstances of the centurion, about the circumstances of the woman of Cana. But again, he in particular observed and marked their faith. And we see several instances where Christ observed faith, where Christ marked faith during his earthly ministry. Notice in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 29, we see Jesus taking notice of the faith of two blind men. And when verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." He took special notice of their faith. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, in Mark 2 and verse 5, we see Jesus taking notice of the faith of five individuals. Four men who carried a paralytic, and then the paralytic himself. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, that is, he observed their faith. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, we see Jesus taking notice of the faith of a woman with a blood plague. Mark 5, verse 34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." We see in Mark chapter 10 in verse 52, if we turn there, Jesus taking notice of the faith of a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. In verse 52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." We see in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, we see Jesus taking note of a woman in the house of a Pharisee, and he took special note of her faith. In Luke chapter 17, and verse 19, we see Jesus taking special note of the faith of a leper. But the fact that Jesus noticed the faith of these individuals reveals, first of all, that faith is real. It is something that can be noticed. It is something that is clearly seen. Now, in each of these cases, Christ not only took notice of the faith of these individuals, but he commended the faith of these individuals, revealing that there is a faith, once again, that pleases God. And all through the Word of God, we are taught the significance of faith. We are taught this by way of precept. We are taught this by way of example. The importance of faith. Faith, of course, is fundamental. It is absolutely essential to living the Christian life. The Christian life cannot be lived without faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it is stated, "The just shall live by faith." The justified shall live by faith. It is not simply suggested that they should live by faith, but they shall live by faith. That will be a characteristic mark of the justified or those who are saved. They will live by faith. That statement is repeated in Romans 1, 17, in Galatians 3, verse 11, and in Hebrews 10, verse 38, "The just shall live by faith." Paul declared in Galatians 2, verse 20, "The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And this way of living is described by the words there in Galatians 2, verse 20, "Yet not I." So living by faith is living above self. It is living above our own reasoning. It is living above our own perception. It is a supernatural way of living life. And the importance of faith, of course, is seen by every single command to cleave to the Lord, takes faith to cleave to the Lord. Every single command to trust in the Lord, that's faith. Every single command to yield to the Lord. Every single command to seek the Lord. Every single command to come to the Lord. To cast our care upon the Lord. To wait upon Him. To follow Him. All of those commands are a command to faith. They are a call to live by faith. And Jesus specifically declared in Mark 11 and verse 22, He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The importance of faith is seen by the Lord's warning against its opposite, which of course is unbelief. He said in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief will lead to a departure from God. Unbelief results in a distance from God. In Hebrews 3, verse 19, they could not enter in, speaking of the land of Canaan, because of unbelief. And may I say, unbelief is the reason that many cannot. The reason that many cannot live the way they're supposed to live. Because of unbelief. Secondly, we want to see the faith. We see that the Lord takes notice of faith, which stresses its importance. The faith, we want to look at the faith that Jesus took notice of. The faith that Jesus took the time to commend. In the instances where Christ took notice and commended faith, we notice certain characteristics of the faith that He commended. And we want to look at seven of these characteristics of faith that Christ commended. And we must ask ourselves as we look at these characteristics, do I have the faith that the Lord commends? Do I have the faith that the Lord commends? Number one, it was faith that was personal and present. Now in our text, we see the faith of a centurion. And his servant was the beneficiary of that faith. We also see the faith of the Canaanite woman. And her daughter was a beneficiary of that faith. But in both of those cases, he did not commend the servant. He did not commend the daughter. He commended the faith that was exercised by the centurion, that was exercised by the Canaanite woman. But in both of those cases, and in every case where Jesus commended faith, it is a faith that is present. It is a faith that is personal. It is a personal and present reality. In Matthew 15, 28, concerning the Canaanite woman, He said, great is thy faith. Thy faith. And concerning the faith of the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, He said, your faith. To the four who carried the paralytic and the paralytic himself, Jesus saw their faith. And to the woman with the blood plague, and to Bartimaeus, and to the woman in the house of the Pharisee, and to the leper, it is thy faith. So in each case, the faith was personal, and the faith was present tense. And the faith was under extremely trying and difficult circumstances. But it was a faith that would not be altered by circumstance. It was personal, it was present, and it was not altered by circumstance. The faith that Christ commends, first off, is both personal and present. So we must ask ourselves, do I have the faith that Christ commends? The second characteristic, it is a faith that is connected with humility. In every single case, pride and faith are incompatible. They do not go together. They do not fit. In the case of the Roman centurion, you have a Roman officer. And as you read the text, you see that he was very well thought of by the elders. He was thought to be a man of love and generosity. And they told the Lord that he's worthy of your blessings. So he was a man who was well thought of. But though others thought him to be worthy, what did the centurion say to the Lord? He said, I'm not worthy that you should enter into my house. I'm not worthy. In the case of the Canaanite woman, she referred to herself as a dog. In the case of the two blind men, they said, have mercy on us. That's humility. In the case of the woman with the plague of blood, her humility is seen throughout the account. In the case of the woman in the Pharisee's house, she washed the feet of Christ with her tears. And that, of course, is a great display of humility. The leper that returned was a display of great humility. So in each case, there is a feeling of personal insufficiency. In each and every case where Christ commended faith, there is a feeling of personal insufficiency. And again, be sure of this. Self-sufficiency and faith are incompatible. They do not fit. They do not go together. The faith that Christ commends displays humility of soul. Always. So we must ask ourselves again, do I have the faith that the Lord commends? One measuring stick of faith is humility. That is one measuring stick of faith. Because faith is humble. Thirdly, it was a faith, goes without saying, with confidence in Christ. As you look at these various accounts, you see in Matthew 8 and verse 6, a servant, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. In Matthew 15:22, you have a daughter, grievously vexed with a devil. In Matthew 9 and in Mark 10, you have blindness. In Mark chapter 2, you have one who is sick of the palsy. In Mark chapter 5, you have a woman who had suffered for 12 years and could not be cured by any of the physicians. In Luke chapter 17, you have a woman which was a sinner. And in Luke 7, you have a woman which was a sinner. In Luke 17, you have lepers. In each of those cases, you have hardship. You have burdens. There is sorrow. There is desperate need. But in each of these cases, these individuals that exercised faith were absolutely persuaded. They were absolutely convinced and certain. Despite the circumstances, they were absolutely certain that Jesus Christ was the emancipator, that Jesus Christ was the healer. They were absolutely certain that Jesus Christ was able in each of these circumstances. So in each case, the individual who exercised faith is heavily burdened, is grievously pained, and is engulfed with a weight of sorrow. And in each case, realizing their utter helplessness, they presented their seemingly impossible need to Jesus Christ. And why did they do that? Because they fully believed that He was greater than their need. He was greater than their situation. In each case, individuals believed not only that Christ was greater than their situation, but they believed that Jesus Christ had authority over their situation. In other words, it was a faith that recognized Jesus Christ as sovereign. It was a faith that recognized Christ as master, as ruler of all things. It was a faith that recognized that Jesus Christ was almighty, that He was over all, that He was superior to all. It was a faith that knew that though their situations were overwhelming, and their situations were overwhelming to them, and their situations caused a great difficulty in their life, they knew that it was no small matter or no small thing to the Lord. Faith has confidence in the Lord. The faith that Christ commends is absolutely certain of the person of Christ. Absolutely certain of the ability of Jesus Christ. And it's not circumstances that dictate that. It's faith. So again, we must ask ourselves, do we have the faith that the Lord commends? Fourthly, it was a faith that overcame. It was a faith that persevered. In each case where Christ commends faith, their faith moved them in the direction of Christ. Faith will always move you in the direction of God. Faith will never take you away from God. Unbelief will take you away from God. Faith always moves in the direction of Christ. So again, a measuring stick of faith is which way you're going. Which way are you headed? Because faith moves in the direction of the Lord. Not only does faith move in the direction of the Lord, faith causes one to persevere in the direction of the Lord. Faith causes one to overcome whatever stands between us and Christ. And as you begin to move in the direction of Christ, as you begin to move in the direction of the Lord, you are going to encounter some things that are going to get in the way, that are going to stand between you and God. But faith keeps going. Faith perseveres. In the case of the Canaanite woman, she continued to cry and to plead with Christ. In spite of the many obstacles that were in the way, the apostles were saying, Lord, send her away. Lord, she's getting on her last nerve. Send her away. And she just kept pleading with Jesus Christ. In the case of Bartimaeus, he kept pleading in spite of all the discouraging words of the people that were around him. They were telling him to be quiet. He was crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people were saying, shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. And he just, the more they said it, the louder he became. In the case of the four individuals carrying the paralytic, nothing stopped them. They got to the house and there were people everywhere. They couldn't make their way into the door, so they climbed up on the roof. When they got up on the roof, the roof's in the way. There was always something. But faith kept persevering. You consider the woman in the Pharisee's house. She could not be stopped by the hatred and self-righteousness of the Pharisees that surrounded her. And all these individuals possessed a faith that would not allow them to get stuck short of Jesus Christ. It was a faith that would not allow them to become distracted by obstacles. It was a faith that caused them to press on in the direction of Jesus Christ. The faith that Christ commends is a faith that keeps moving in the direction of Christ. It not just moves in the direction of Christ, it keeps moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. It is a faith that cannot be overwhelmed, cannot be stopped by difficulty. In each case, we see an active, energetic, and vigorous faith. So active, so energetic, so vigorous that the individual keeps moving in the direction of Christ no matter what the setback, no matter what the obstacle may be. So again, we must ask ourselves, do I have the faith that the Lord commends? Do I have that faith? Fifthly, it was a faith that brought them near to Christ. It not only moves in the direction of Christ, it not only keeps moving in the direction of Christ, it brings you near to Christ. In the case of the Canaanite woman, in Matthew 15 and 25, we read, "Then came she and worshipped." Then came she. In the case of the blind man in Matthew 9, verse 28, the blind man came to him. How close did they get? Well, verse 29 says, "Then touched he their eyes." They got close enough for Christ to touch their eyes. In the case of the paralytic, in spite of all the obstacles that they had to get through, eventually we read, he's before Jesus. He's before Jesus. In the case of the woman with the plague of blood, she got close enough to touch the hem of his garment. In the case of Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10 and verse 50, we read, he came to Jesus. In the case of the woman in the Pharisee's house, she got close enough to touch him and to wash and dry his feet with her hair. It was a faith in each of these incidents. It was a faith that brought them into the very presence of the Lord. A faith that enabled them to personally experience Jesus Christ. It wasn't that someone had to tell them their experience of Christ. These individuals got close enough to personally experience Jesus Christ. The faith that Christ commends is a faith that brings you into the very presence of Jesus Christ. It is a faith that allows you to experience Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not based upon what others say. It's not based upon what others experience and what you've heard of their experience. The Christian life is a personal experience. And it's his faith that brings us into the presence of Jesus Christ. So again, we must ask ourselves, do I have the faith that the Lord commands? Sixthly, it was a faith that made them different from those that were around them. In the case of the paralytic, he was different than all those who stood outside of that house. He was different from all those that were in the house. He was different from all of those that were around that house. The woman with the blood plague. There are hundreds of people thronging and touching Christ that day. But when she touched him, he said, "Somebody hath touched me." She touched him in a way that no one else did that day. She was different than everyone else in that crowd. So this is a faith that moves one beyond just being part of the crowd. The paralytic, he didn't just become part of the crowd. Had he done so, he would have gone home the same way he came to that house. The woman with the blood plague, she didn't just become part of the crowd. Faith made them different than the crowd. We don't want to just be part of the crowd, whether it's the world's crowd or the religious crowd. We want to have a faith that makes us different than the crowd. Many that were in the house when the paralytic arrived, many that were standing outside of the house, they believed. But the faith of those four individuals and the faith of that paralytic were different. Those that were thronging Jesus Christ, if you remember, they were on their way to the house of Jairus. Christ was going to heal his daughter. And the whole thing was interrupted by this woman who touched the hem of his garment. She was different than everyone else in that crowd. The faith that Jesus Christ commends is a life-altering faith. It is a faith that alters your life. It is not a faith that just causes you to be a part of the crowd. It is something that alters your life. So again, we must ask ourselves, do I have the faith that the Lord commends? Seventhly and lastly, it was a faith that caused them to witness and experience the miraculous. In the case of the centurion, there was healing for his servant. In the case of the Canaanite woman, the daughter that was grievously vexed with a devil was made whole. In the case of the two blind men, we read in Matthew 9 that their eyes were opened. In the case of the paralytic, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 12, he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all. In the case of the woman with the blood plague, what 12 years of doctors, what 12 years of expense could not do, Jesus made her whole. In the case of Bartimaeus, he received his sight. In the case of the lepers, they were cleansed. In each of these cases, the miraculous was experienced. And in each case, there was a release of some sort. And there was a joy unspeakable. And there was rest. And in each and every case, there was praise. So this is a faith that enables one to experience Jesus Christ. But not only that, to experience the miraculous, which only feeds that faith, causes it to grow. So the faith that Christ commends is a Christ-experiencing faith. It is a miracle-experiencing faith. So again, we must ask ourselves, do I have the faith that the Lord commends? This faith that Christ commended was possessed by those who had the same nature that you and I have. Possessed by those who had the same tendencies, infirmities, and weaknesses that you and I have. Possessed by those who have the same temptations that we have. But yet, they possessed a faith commended by Christ. None of these individuals commended their own faith. Christ commended their faith. In other words, it was a faith that Christ observed and took pleasure in. It pleased him. It pleased him to see their faith. It was a faith that Christ greatly blessed. He blessed their faith, and he did so for his honor and for his glory. In each case, Jesus Christ was honored. Jesus Christ was glorified. We too can possess this kind of faith. This is what we ought to desire. Again, we refer to it often. The apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. That needs to be a daily prayer. Lord, increase our faith. No matter how much faith I may think I have, or how much faith you may think you have, and perhaps we have faith that is commended by Christ. Perhaps we possess this kind of faith. Still needs to increase. Increase our faith. So this is something that we ought to pray for, because we cannot live the life that God has called us to live without this faith. Ability does not replace this faith. It doesn't make up for a lack of faith. Intelligence does not replace faith. It doesn't make up for faith. Faith stands alone. And it's something that is absolutely necessary for you and I to live the Christian life. And the more we live by faith, the more different we are than those around us, because this world doesn't know how to live by faith. Most of the religious world has no idea about living by faith. And don't look at living by faith as some kind of curse. It's a blessing to live by faith, to just live life looking to the one that we know is able. So we desperately need this faith. And most of us that are here today, we, just like God, all of God's people in the past, we kind of go back and forth. The interesting thing about faith, one moment you can possess the faith that Christ commends, and the very next second, it'd be gone. But again, we just need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. We're getting older. It's true of all of us. And as we've preached in the past, we are to grow old. We're not to just wake up one day and be old. We're to grow old. And one of the best ways to grow old is to grow in faith. Just more and more and more faith. Every day. May I say there's a lot of wisdom in faith. Faith moves us in the direction of God. That's wisdom. It's always wise to move in the direction of God. And it's always foolish to move away from God. So God bless us with this faith today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.